Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Radio Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso. CAL FIRE has filed a lawsuit against parents whose children are accused of starting a wildfire in Jamul. The state wants to build a parole center in La Mesa, but residents are objecting due to its proximity to schools and other sensitive uses. The Cajon Valley School Board heard heated testimony over renewing its contract with the YMCA for summer camps, and the family of NASCAR champion Jimmy Johnson has suffered a terrible tragedy. His wife's parents and the Johnsons' 11-year-old nephew were found dead in what police in Oklahoma say was a murder-suicide. We'll have more on these local news stories on our show today, and then on Destination East County, we'll tell you about lots of festivals and events coming up, including 4th of July fireworks, picnics and a parade, a star party, a Western-themed fest atop Mount Helix, outdoor concerts, farm tours, and more. On the second half of our show, we'll air our annual 4th of July special, in which we've conjured up our nation's founding fathers and founding mothers to bring us some words of wisdom and their views on issues that are as important today as they were when our nation was founded. Then, we'll have some national news stories from Public News Service, including the Supreme Court striking down a claim that states could appoint electors in defiance of voters' choices to elect Donald Trump, a report on warnings about the January 6th Capitol attack that went ignored, a plan to fund high-speed internet access nationwide, a call by Democrats for an investigation into ethics scandals at the Supreme Court, a proposal in Congress to put naloxone in pharmacies, and an update on Canada's wildfires, which are impacting air quality across much of the U.S. This 4th of July weekend, CAL FIRE has asked us to remind everybody that fireworks are illegal unless they're part of a professional show, and that illegal fireworks can cause injuries and spark wildfires. The county is also reminding dog owners to keep dogs inside on the 4th, since fireworks can frighten pets into running away. In fact, the most missing pets every year wind up in local shelters after the 4th of July. So please have a happy and safe Independence Day celebration. And stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters.
CAL FIRE has filed a lawsuit in San Diego Superior Court against the parents of two young children seeking to recover $675,000 in costs for fighting the Skyline Fire in Jamul 3 years ago. The suit alleges that the parents were negligent in supervising their children while camping at Skyline Truck Trail. The lawsuit provides only the parents' first names, Joy and Nathan. According to CAL FIRE, a fire started by their two young children in June 2020 spread into the brush and onto neighboring property. The suit alleges that the parents were unable to put out the fire and that they left the scene as the fire spread. The fire burned for 3 days. It threatened homes, forced evacuation of residents, and charred 100 acres. Fortunately, no homes were lost and no injuries were reported. According to the state, this wasn't the first time that the family's children had started a fire. The suit claims that one or more of the children ignited a fire 3 days earlier by playing with campfire sticks. According to CAL FIRE, 35 engines, 7 firefighting crews, 5 air tankers, and 4 helicopters were needed to halt the Skyline Fire. On social media, most postings voiced support for holding the parents accountable for damages resulting from their children's actions. But some voiced empathy for the family, which could be expected to pay over $250,000 if CAL FIRE wins its suit, an amount that would pose extreme hardship for most families. Recording for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Derek Wilton.
Should a parole office be allowed in La Mesa, just a few hundred feet from elementary schools and a preschool, around the corner from breweries and cannabis dispensaries, near a senior daycare center and other sensitive uses? That's exactly what the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation is considering. The agency sent a letter to the city dated April 25th notifying La Mesa officials that the agency is considering leasing a site for a parole office on Hercules Street, across the street from the Carl Berger Dodge dealership and Journey Church, which plans to open an elementary school on its property next year. Christina Kokobashvili, with the state's Corrections Department, says the site, if selected, would serve not only parolees from East County and Chula Vista, but also the parolees who wear tracking devices. Those include sexual predators and violent offenders. The site would serve an estimated 700 parolees. The state plans to close its Chula Vista site, leaving only an Escondido parole office and the La Mesa site to serve the rest of the county's parolees. The La Mesa facility would have 20 to 30 parole officers to handle the caseload. Nowadays, agents usually visit parolees at their workplaces or homes, the state staffer states, so not all of those parolees would be coming on a regular basis to the office. But all parolees would visit the office at least once, right after being released from prison, and some would require follow-up visits. Alice Berger's family has owned and operated the Carl Berger Dodge, Chrysler, and Jeep dealership for 71 years. "I'm very concerned," she told East County Magazine. Berger voices concern not only for the safety of her customers and employees, but also children and other vulnerable people nearby. She started a petition with 179 signatures so far and voices frustration with the city for not promptly getting word out to the community. She has also testified during public comments at recent city council meetings and sent a letter to city council members voicing her objections. Berger says she has researched 16 other parole centers in California, and she found that none were closer than 1,500 feet from any school. Most were much farther away, including Chula Vista at roughly a mile from the nearest school, Escondido 2 miles, and Irvine 3 miles. By contrast, the proposed La Mesa site is less than 600 feet from JCS Manzanita Elementary School, 860 feet from Bunny Bear's Preschool, and 900 feet from Journey's planned elementary school. It's also just 450 feet from the Advantage Senior Daycare Center for Disabled and Mentally Challenged Seniors, and 400 feet from a jiu-jitsu studio offering lessons to children. Berger asked, why are the children of La Mesa being given less consideration than those at other places in the state? For parolees who take public transit, depending on where they ride, a bus or trolley, according to the research we've done, some would be walking directly past schools with young children, past senior housing under construction currently in La Mesa, a new apartment complex, and the Grossmont Center shopping mall, which draws teens who come to a movie theater as well as shopping. There's also a daycare center in the mall. If they're getting off the trolley in downtown La Mesa, parolees would walk through the historic village and right past the La Mesa Spring Valley School Board District where parents and children come for board meetings and other things. That is the same historic district where merchants and residents were terrorized in May 2020 during a riot when several buildings burned down and many stores were vandalized, looted, or set on fire. La Mesa is a small city. It measures just 9 square miles. The riot showed how easily the small city's police force could be overwhelmed, unable even to protect firefighters since fire engines were forced to shelter in the fire station that night and let buildings burn down after rioters pelted fire trucks with rocks. Why doesn't the state instead put a parole center in a large city with a sizable police force, such as the city of San Diego, that has no parole center? La Mesa has a lower crime rate than most surrounding cities, and yet it would be forced to have an influx of paroled criminals, many of whom committed violent crimes or other serious felonies, without enough police officers to handle any major increase in crimes. Another issue is that the proposed parole center site is just around the corner from the city's evolving industrial district, which is now known as the Vice District, populated by breweries, a winery, and several marijuana dispensaries. Parolees exiting Interstate 8 in vehicles to visit the parole office would drive right past these beer, wine, and legal pot shops. Should such temptations be so easily accessible to ex-convicts visiting their parole office, many of whom have battled addiction issues? If we want their rehabilitation to succeed, is this really a good idea? Mary England, president of the La Mesa Chamber of Commerce, says the chamber opposes the proposed parole center because of its negative impact on children, seniors, schools, and businesses. Back in 2018, when the state proposed a parole office at the base of Mount Helix near Grossmont High School, Mayor Mark Rapostathis weighed in against the project, urging the state to withdraw its plans. The state ultimately did abandon that site for functional and logistical issues after more than 1,800 residents opposed that project. But so far, the city has declined to put the proposed parole office on Hercules Street on the agenda, nor has it sent out any press releases or taken other steps to notify the general public, even though many people could potentially be impacted. The city's position is that this probation office is on private property zoned for business use, according to England. The city has sent a letter to the state noting the site's proximity to sensitive uses, but it has not contested the location based on zoning restrictions. But critics note that parole officers often wear bulletproof vests to work and that this use is different than typical businesses in other locations. Parole offices are often located near police stations or jails, where law enforcement is readily accessible. Berger hints at legal action if the city and state don't take steps to keep the parole office out of La Mesa. She told East County Magazine, "My lawyer has suggested it is a violation of zoning ordinances." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
At the Cajon Valley Union School District's board meeting on June 13th,
renewal of a contract with the YMCA for 6th grade campers drew an overflow crowd. The YMCA has been under scrutiny in East County for an incident earlier this year when a 17-year-old girl claimed she saw a naked man in the locker room at the YMCA in Santee. That person was, in fact, a transgender woman who had undergone a gender change and no longer had male anatomy. The YMCA responded to the controversy by agreeing to remodel its locker rooms to provide private dressing and shower areas for everyone. Despite this, some community members at the Cajon Valley meeting told the school board that they did not want the YMCA to get the 6th grade camp contract for next year. They claimed that some kids had complaints after attending the camp last year, but did not clarify the nature of those complaints. During public comments, tensions rose. The crowd was loud and passionate on both sides. Marcy, who did not give her last name, spoke first. She said she is a mom and a member of Gays Against Groomers, stating, "When someone pushes a lifestyle like religious fanatics, it's created division and death. Today we are divided. Reel in your supporters and fly American and California flags only, and tone it down." Stephen Nisu from St. Peter's Catholic Chaldean Diocese said, "We love all people and respect all people, and that is what being Christian is all about. But," he added, "we want our voices to be heard with regards to how our schools have become so open and our curriculum so open. I teach purity, chastity, and abstinence to all my students." An emotional moment came when a young child named Annie got up to speak to the board. She said, "7 out of 9 members of my family are LGBTQ+, and the other 2 definitely support it." She told the board, "Schools need to take care of all students, not just straight students or cisgender students. I want my family to feel safe and protected, and for all students too." The young girl paused and lost her place reading from a paper she had written. An audience member rudely shouted, "You see, she doesn't know how to read." That prompted others in the audience to gasp in shock. As the woman from the audience was removed from the room, the crowd cheered. Annie's family member, Grayson Beacon, grabbed the microphone to finish Annie's public comment after the heckler left and the audience quieted. Beacon said, "I want my family to feel respected, safe, and for the school district to act responsibly. Please listen and support LGBTQ+. Thank you." Many in the crowd cheered on Annie and Grayson as they left the podium. Trustee Karen Mejia motioned to renew the YMCA camp contract, with Trustee Joe Alegria seconding the motion. During board discussion, Trustee Anthony Carnevale said parents should get written notification of camp policies and names of camp counselors who will stay overnight. Parents and community members opposed to renewing the YMCA contract clapped for Carnevale's statement. Superintendent Dave Miyashiro made sure that names of camp counselors and their schedules would not be disclosed. However, he said he met with the YMCA's CEO and staff to assure that procedures will make kids feel safe and comfortable. One option could be a drop box where students could leave complaints anonymously, he said. Dr. Miyashiro reminded the board that staff has been choosing the YMCA 6th grade camp as a preferred choice based on options, activities, and the high quality of care. The camp serves several of the district's schools. Part of the crowd of teachers, staff, students, and parents cheered in support. Board President Jim Miller said of the undisclosed complaints, "We had a very, very in-depth evaluation and investigation conducted by both the staff as well as the YMCA. A lot of concerns were addressed. Some were legitimate and some were not." Miller agreed with Carnevale about wanting camp counselor names before children went to camp, but he explained that staff selects the camp. He assured the audience that he believes the YMCA, under the current atmosphere and in the current environment, is going to dot every I and cross every T to make sure they do the job right and report back to us. Alegria said parents have a choice and no one has to send their children to Camp Marston, run by the YMCA. The board, comprised of 5 Republicans, voted 3-2 to approve the YMCA camp contract, with trustees Miller, Alegria, and Mejia in support of renewing the contract. The board's newest trustees, Carnevale and Joyana Gierges, voted no. Reported for the East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Derek Wilton.
The family of NASCAR champion and hometown hero Jimmy Johnson has been struck by tragedy. The parents of Johnson's wife, Chandra Janway Johnson, were found dead on June 27th at their home in Muskogee, Oklahoma, along with the Johnsons' 11-year-old nephew. Raised in El Cajon, Jimmy Johnson has long been hailed as a hometown hero not only for his NASCAR wins, but also for the generosity of the foundation that he and his wife run, donating millions of dollars to help children in need and benefit local schools. Police in Muskogee report that they believe Terry Janway shot and killed her husband, Jack Janway, and their young grandson, Dalton, and then killed herself. NASCAR issued this statement: "We are saddened by the tragic deaths of members of Chandra Johnson's family. The entire NASCAR family extends its deepest support and condolences during this difficult time to Chandra, Jimmy, and the entire Johnson and Janway families." Johnson has canceled his planned participation in the 4th of July weekend NASCAR Cup Series in Chicago due to the tragedy, according to his race team, Legacy Motor Club. The team posted on Twitter, "The Johnson family has asked for privacy at this time, and no further statements will be made." Johnson retired as a full-time racer in 2020, but he has since returned to compete in several races. He is one of the most successful race car drivers of all time, tied for 7 Cup Series championships with Dale Earnhardt and Richard Petty, the most in NASCAR history. He is expected to be inducted into the NASCAR Hall of Fame once his racing career ends. But it's his philanthropy that has had the greatest impact here in our region. The Jimmy Johnson Foundation, with Jimmy as president and Chandra as vice president, has given over $13 million to organizations including the Make-A-Wish Foundation, San Diego Habitat for Humanity, and schools including Crest Elementary and Granite Hills High, his alma mater. All told, their foundation has helped 167 schools and 150 nonprofits, according to its website. At a 2009 rally in Santee that I covered outside Lowe's, that's Johnson's NASCAR sponsor, the city and county honored the Johnsons. Supervisor Diane Jacobs said, "We are most proud of you. Besides the greatness you've achieved, you've given back to your community. You haven't forgotten your roots." The San Diego County Board of Supervisors declared Jimmy Johnson Day in his honor, and then Santee Mayor Randy Vopel gave Johnson the keys to the city. Jimmy and Chandra Johnson married in 2004. She has a degree in business communications from the University of Oklahoma, her home state. She's had a successful modeling career with a fan page on Facebook where supporters posted messages of sympathy over her family's losses. Chandra and Jimmy Johnson's 2 daughters, ages 12 and 9, have often been seen cheering Johnson on at his races. Now, the children must cope with losing their grandparents and a young cousin. Johnson praised his wife on Instagram just last month when he posted a photo of Chandra and their children, with a Mother's Day message stating, "Thank you for giving our family 100% every day. We love you." Police in Muskogee had provided additional details on Chandra's parents' deaths. A woman presumed to be Terry, Chandra's mother, called 911 to report that somebody had a gun in the home. When police arrived, they found a body, heard a gunshot, and then found 2 more bodies, including hers. No motives have been disclosed. Jack Conway, Chandra's father, was a well-known chiropractor whose clients included Muskogee Mayor Marlon Coleman. The mayor told a local TV station, "It was traumatizing to find out that a long-standing family who had made so many contributions to our community were involved in this type of incident. It was even more bone-chilling to find out there was a child involved." And sadly, this is not the first tragic family loss for Chandra. Her brother, Jordan Janway, a parachute instructor, died in a 2014 skydiving accident locally at Skydive San Diego. If you or someone you know has suicidal thoughts or experiences depression, help is available. Please call 988 or dial the San Diego County Access and Crisis Line at 888-724-7240. You are not alone. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from San Diego's East County.
Welcome to East County Magazine's Destination East County, bringing you all of the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County each week. This is Miriam Raftery.
And Derek Wilton.
With Destination East County. Fireworks, parades, a stargazing festival, outdoor concerts, farm tours, a food fest, and more are all happening in East County as summer heats up.
Visionary Youth Theater presents Grease, school version, at the Visionary Performance Space in La Mesa on June 30th through July 9th. The hip musical with a hip-shaking rock and roll score celebrates Rydell High's class of 1959 and all their duck-tailed, bobby-socked, gum-snapping glory. The fun-loving spirit and immortal songs make Grease a favorite among rock and roll fans of all ages. For tickets, you can visit visionarydancetheater.org.
The City of Lemon Grove invites you to concerts in the park every Thursday evening from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at Berry Street Park on Mount Vernon Street in Lemon Grove. These concerts run from June 29th all the way through August 10th. Bring a blanket or lawn chair along with your own picnic or barbecue. Alcohol is prohibited and pets must be on leashes in the park.
Summertime at Julian Farm and Orchard includes you-pick flowers, strawberries, raspberries, blackberries, and a number of fun farm-themed activities. On July 1st from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. during summer days at the farm, for a nominal admission fee, you can have access to the farm, animal sanctuary, yard games, hay rides, gift shop, and more. Find more information at julianfarmandorchard.com.
For more than 20 years, Julian residents, their friends, and parade lovers from all over have lined up on the town's main street on the 4th of July for the town's annual parade, cheering on the marching bands, a Marine color guard, and residents carrying a giant American flag down the thoroughfare. The parade rolls out at 9 a.m. and includes antique cars, vintage tractors, belly dancers, World War II submariners, car clubs, beautiful horses, and more in this hometown Independence Day parade. You can find more information at julianparade.com.
The City of Santee will host its annual Santee Salutes celebration on Tuesday, July 4th from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. at Santee Town Center Community Park East. You're invited to celebrate our nation's 247th birthday with fireworks at 9 p.m. that will also feature a soundtrack playing live on Santee TV. There will also be live bands, patriotic presentations, food trucks, and more. Parking is limited, so carpooling and public transit are encouraged, or you can buy a parking permit at cityofsantee.gov.
El Cajon will host its annual Independence Day celebration with fireworks in Kennedy Park. That's on East Madison Avenue in El Cajon on July 4th. Arrive early and bring a blanket, lawn chairs, and a picnic dinner if you wish. The family fun includes train rides from 2 to 7 p.m., arts and crafts plus family games from 3 to 7, live bands from 3 to 9 p.m., and of course, fireworks at 9 o'clock. For more information on the El Cajon 4th of July celebration, you can go to elcajon.gov.
An old-fashioned 4th of July celebration will be held at Poway's Midland Park, Midland Road, Poway, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on July 4th. Celebrate our country's independence as it was done a century ago. This event will feature patriotic entertainment, free children's crafts, train displays, and old-fashioned games. Tasty treats and train rides will be available for a nominal fee. Find more information at poway.org/calendar.
The Main Street Revitalization Association in Lakeside invites you to decorate your vehicle and join the Lakeside 4th of July Parade. Participants should meet at the Lakeside Rodeo Grounds at 9 a.m. for the parade, which starts at 10 a.m. Afterwards, you can join local veterans for a half-pound burger at the Lakeside VFW.
Oasis Camel Dairy in Ramona is offering farm tours on July 15th and July 29th from 12 noon to 2 p.m. The tour includes a camel and bird show, feeding camels and miniature sheep, along with other farm attractions and an option to ride a camel. For tickets and reservations, you can visit cameldairy.com.
You're invited to bring friends, form a team with a creative name, and vie for prizes in fun challenges at stations across Grossmont Center in La Mesa on July 28th from 4 to 7 p.m. It's all part of Team on a Trek, an event to raise funds for the nonprofit San Diego Oasis Learning and Wellness Centers. The fun will also include music, entertainment, and awards. Think of it as an amazing race type of event, but for all ages and levels. Teams are encouraged to show some spirit and get silly, organizers say. There will be awards such as Best Costume, Best Team Name, and Most Spirited. Multi-generational teams are encouraged. There is a fee for teams to enter, and you can register for Team on a Trek at the San Diego Oasis website. That's san-diego.oasisnet.org, or just Google San Diego Oasis.
The Julian Star Fest returns August 11th and 12th. This year's festivities include a public star party on Saturday night, August 12th, camping availability for tent and RV campers, astronomy games and crafts for kids, exhibits by major telescope and accessory vendors, food and beverage vendors. On Saturday only, there will be a raffle for donated astronomy equipment, plus an optional behind-the-scenes tour of the world-famous Mount Laguna Observatory. All proceeds from the event are used to help fund the San Diego Astronomy Association's ongoing community educational efforts. Learn more at julianstarfest.com.
Cajon Classic Cruises continue along Main Street in downtown El Cajon this summer. The car shows are held each Wednesday from 5 to 7:30 p.m. all summer long. The city also hosts outdoor concerts in the park on Prescott Promenade in the same area along Main Street every Friday night from 6 to 8 p.m. now through September. You can bring a picnic dinner or arrive early to dine at one of the restaurants nearby. Find a full list of weekly car show themes and the lineup of concert bands at downtownelcajon.com.
Santee officials say it's music to their ears. The Santee's summer concerts taking stage for outdoor concerts on Thursday nights through August 17th in Town Center Park.
You're invited to don your cowboy boots and wrangle up the gang for the Mount Helix Food and Wine Festival on the evening of August 19th. This year's event features a Wild West theme, food and wine tasting from local restaurants and beverage companies, as well as artists, live and silent auctions, live music, sunset views from atop Mount Helix, and dancing under the stars. For tickets, visit mounthelixpark.org.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around, East County.
You're listening to the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for San Diego's inland region. Now, stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
This is Miriam Raftery with KNSJ. In honor of Independence Day and the birth of independent media here today, we have lined up some very special interviews. Have you ever wondered what our founding fathers would have said about the news events that are happening now in America? Well, we decided to ask them. That's right. We've conjured up the spirits of 1776, our founding fathers, and some founding mothers who fought for the liberties that we enjoy today. Of course, we couldn't really bring them back to life, but we have brought in actors to read in their own words the views of these revolutionary patriots, the radicals of their day. We asked them questions about the hot issues of our times, and the words they spoke over 200 years ago are as relevant today as they were back when America was born. Plus, in the spirit of bringing you all sides to this story, we have also brought in a leader from the Native American community during colonial times, as well as that ruler against whom the colonists rebelled, King George III. And now let's welcome our guests to KNSJ. Now, could each of you rabble-rousers please start by sharing a favorite quote with our listeners? Let's begin with former President Thomas Jefferson, author of the Declaration of Independence.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Inspiring words. Next, we have Benjamin Franklin, famed statesman, scientist, and newspaper editor. Ambassador Franklin, what's your quote for today?
Rebellion against tyrants is obedience to God.
Thank you, Ambassador Franklin. Next up, Patrick Henry, my ancestor and the former Virginia governor who called the British Stamp Act treason and helped foment the American Revolution.
Give me liberty or give me death!
King George, you had a little different view of this rebellion. Will you please share your reaction?
Once these rebels have felt a smart blow, they will submit.
Never!
King George, feel the smart blows themselves.
Your Highness, it didn't quite work out that way. We are also honored to have with us George Washington, the first president of our nation, known as the father of our country, a leader famed for his integrity.
I hold the maxim, no less applicable to public than to private affairs, that honesty is the best policy.
Thank you, Mr. President. Our next guest is Phyllis Wheatley, known as the poet of the Revolution. She once wrote a poem and sent it to General Washington himself. Mrs. Wheatley, can you please share an excerpt?
Proceed, great chief, with virtue on thy side. Thy every action let the goddess guide.
General Washington later invited you to actually meet with him. Can you please read another of your revolutionary verses?
Thick as leaves in autumn's golden rain, such and so many moves the warrior's train.
Now, Mrs. Wheatley also sent poems to British nobility and had her work published in a colonial newspaper. Her accomplishments are even more impressive when you learn that Mrs. Wheatley was a slave at the time, educated by her masters, more fortunate than the vast majority of slaves, of course. She later gained fame for her eloquent defense of liberty for all people, but more on that later. Our next guest is John Adams, diplomat and former president. What's your founding vision?
Government is instituted for the common good, for the protection, safety, prosperity, and happiness of the people, and not for profit, honor, or private interest.
Not for profit.
All right. Now we will hear from your wife, Abigail Adams. Mrs. Adams, you were a first lady and a champion for women's rights long before it was fashionable.
If we mean to have heroes, statesmen, and philosophers, we should have learned women.
Amen. Indeed, James Madison, another former president, we have quite a few of them here today, co-authored the Federalist Papers that helped to win ratification of the Constitution. President Madison?
Liberty may be endangered by the abuse of liberty, but also by the abuse of power.
Now, some listeners may not know that the American Revolution divided Native American people. Some tribes sided with the colonists and others with the British. Our next guest is Mohawk Indian Chief Thayenanegaye, also known by his English name, Chief Joseph Brant. He sided with the British during the Revolution and was actually considered one of Britain's finest officers, leading battles against those rebellious colonists. Chief Brant, please explain why you chose to oppose the colonists.
Indeed, it is very hard when we have let the king's subjects have so much of our lands for so little value. The Mohawks have on all occasions shown their zeal and loyalty to the great king, yet they have been very harshly treated by his people.
And finally, Thomas Paine, a corset maker by trade, later a journalist and a pamphleteer who authored Common Sense, or as the British called him, a propagandist. Mr. Paine, what quote would you like to share?
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands now deserves the love and thanks of a man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered.
Thank you. Now for our first question. How important do you believe it is to have media that is independent, free from control by the government or by powerful corporations? President Jefferson, let's start with you.
Where the press is free and every man able to read, all is safe. Where left to me to decide whether we should have a government without newspapers or newspapers without a government, I should not hesitate a moment to prefer the latter.
Ambassador Franklin, as a former newsman yourself, can you weigh in on the trend toward media censorship of controversial issues?
Whoever would overthrow the liberty of a nation must begin by subduing the freedom of speech. If all printers were determined not to print anything till they were sure it would offend nobody, there would be very little printed.
President Madison, why is a free press important to you?
To the press alone, checkered as it is with abuses, the world is indebted for all the triumphs which have been obtained by reason and humanity over error and oppression.
Next question. Recently, a whistleblower...
Whistleblower? Do you mean a fife player?
No, a whistleblower is someone who sounds an alarm.
Oh, like Paul Revere, our good friend who warned us that the British were coming.
Something like that. This whistleblower revealed that the government has been spying on Americans and accessing our telephone and internet records.
Phones? Internets? What manner of inventions are these?
Ambassador Franklin, I'll be happy to show you how to tweet and surf the net after our interview. I believe you'll be amazed.
Tweet?
But now the government argues that knowing who we communicate with is necessary to protect us from terrorists. Yet others say this violates our constitutional liberties. Ambassador Franklin, what's your view?
They who can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety.
Huzzah! Edward Snowden, the whistleblower who leaked the classified documents, proving that our government has been spying on Americans' phone and internet records, has been charged with treason. There is a very vigorous debate going on as to whether he is a hero or a traitor. King George, what's your definition of a traitor?
A traitor, of course, is anyone who does not agree with me.
Now you can see why they called him Mad King George.
Mr. Henry, in a very famous speech, you denounced the Stamp Act and declared that only colonists should have the right to levy taxes, not the king, and you went on to foment rebellion. Some in the crowd even shouted treason. What was your response?
If this be treason, make the most of it.
No new taxes.
It sounds like the original Tea Party movement. Chief Brandt, you traveled to Europe and were warmly received at the British court. But you raised some royal eyebrows when you were introduced to King George here. Tell us what you said.
I told the king, I bow to no man, for I am considered a prince among my own people. But I will gladly shake your hand.
Shake hands with no man.
President Madison, in your day, the Barbary pirates were considered terrorists. Now drones, spies in the skies, are being deployed along our borders.
Spies in the skies? Do you mean balloons, such as the French launched in Paris?
Drones, actually, are unmanned flying machines, Mr. President.
Flying machines? Imagine that.
Do you believe changing times warrant more intrusion into our privacy to assure that foreign terrorists are not plotting against us?
If tyranny and oppression come to this land, it will be in the guise of fighting a foreign enemy. It is a universal truth that the loss of liberty at home is to be charged to the provisions against danger, real or pretended, from abroad.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Henry, what do you have to say about these recent erosions of our constitutional liberties?
Guard with jealous attention the public liberty. Suspect anyone who approaches that jewel.
Huzzah! Huzzah! Huzzah!
President Washington, are you concerned about a chilling effect on free speech if journalists are monitored?
If the freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent we may be led like sheep to the slaughter.
Mrs. Adams, you once urged your husband, John, to remember the ladies when the Constitution was written.
That I did, though he did not listen.
Shame!
As to your extraordinary code of laws, I cannot bit laugh, my saucy bride. We know better than to repeal our masculine systems.
You may both find it of interest to know that a constitutional amendment finally granted women the right to vote.
Excellent! Excellent!
Though it didn't happen until 1920.
Mercy, what took those men so long?
Good question.
My heavens, this subjects us to the despotism of the petticoat.
But even now, in the year 2013, women are still earning only 77 cents for every dollar earned by men. Mrs. Adams, is your advice to your husband still valid today?
Certainly. All men would be tyrants if they could. If particular care and attention is not paid to the ladies, we are determined to foment a rebellion, and we will not hold ourselves bound by any laws in which we have no voice or representation.
Strong words indeed. Mrs. Wheatley, you once sent a poem to Britain's Earl of Dartmouth, both celebrating American independence and making a case for abolition to bring freedom to African Americans. Can you please share some of that verse?
No more, America, in mournful strain of wrongs and grievance, unredressed complain. No longer shalt thou dread the iron chain which wanton tyranny with lawless hand had made, and with it meant enslave the land. Should you, my lord, while you peruse my song, wonder from whence my love of freedom sprung, whence flow these wishes for the common good, by feeling hearts alone best understood, I, young in life, my seeming cruel fate was snatched from Africa's fancied happy seat.
Thank you. Times have changed since then. The Emancipation Proclamation freed the slaves in the 1860s, and later, African Americans were granted equal rights. Today, we even have a black president.
Glory! Oh. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Your efforts were a key part of those changes. In a letter to a well-known minister here in the colonies, you likened slaveholders to the ancient Egyptians who enslaved the Israelites. As one of the early voices in the abolitionist movement, tell us what words you used to spark his conscience.
For in every human breast, God has implanted a principle, which we call love of freedom. It is impatient of oppression and pants for deliverance. And by the leave of our modern Egyptians, I will assert that the same principle lives in us.
Speaking of Israelites fleeing Egypt for a better life elsewhere, immigration is a hot topic again here today, as it has been for many, many years. President Madison, what is your view?
America was indebted to immigration for her settlement and prosperity. That part of America which had encouraged them most had advanced most rapidly in population, agriculture, and the arts.
Some broadcast media today foments bigotry and racism. President Jefferson, do you find that troubling?
Broadcast media? It sounds narrow-minded. Bigotry is the disease of ignorance, of morbid mind. Here in America, we are destined to be a barrier against the returns of ignorance and barbarism.
Thank you. Chief Brandt, the revolution had an unfortunate consequence for Native Americans, who in seeking to protect their lands and cultural heritage were actually called barbarians. When the war was over, the British ceded lands in America, not to the tribes who fought alongside them, but to the colonists. The war fueled resentment by colonists against those tribes that sided with the British and led to even worse oppression of some Indian tribes. But now in our time, the Idle No More movement has arisen, standing up for Native American rights. What are your thoughts on this?
Idle No More. If this effort demands respect for our sovereign rights, I rise in support. We are tired out in making complaints and getting no redress.
Most of our guests today have advocated for rebellion and fought in the Revolutionary War. In recent years, however, America has gone to war far beyond our own borders, even starting a preemptive war in the Middle East. What are your views on war and peace, President Jefferson?
Peace and friendship with all mankind is our wisest policy, and I wish we may be permitted to pursue it. I have seen enough of one war never to wish to see another. The spirit of this country is totally adverse to a large military force.
President Adams, what are your thoughts?
Great is the guilt of an unnecessary war.
Mr. Franklin, how about you?
There was never a good war or a bad peace. Wars are not paid for in wartime. The bill comes later.
The bill does come later.
Speaking of bills, I'm sure Tea Party listeners out there would want me to ask you about the national debt. President Jefferson, what are your thoughts on that?
The principle of spending money to be paid by posterity under the name of funding is but swindling futurity on a large scale.
Gun violence is on the rise in America today. As a revolutionary, what is your take on the Second Amendment, President Madison?
Americans have the right and advantage of being armed, unlike the citizens of other countries whose governments are afraid to trust the people with arms.
King George, what's your reaction to these armed upstarts in the colonies defeating that powerful British military force of yours?
Knavery seems to be so much the striking feature of its inhabitants that it may not, in the end, be an evil that they will become aliens to this kingdom.
So much for diplomacy. My next question is for Ambassador Franklin. A diplomat himself and a man of science known for his many inventions, including, reportedly, flying a kite in a storm to prove the workings of electricity.
Dear me, that was a shocking experience.
Ambassador, Technology has seen many advances since your day, including radio and television, instant communications that use electricity.
So the power of lightning has been harnessed at last.
Yes, it has. But now some factions want to defund scientific research and discredit scientists on issues such as climate change, and not the kind you wrote about in Poor Richard's Almanac, I might add.
The rapid progress true science now makes occasions my regretting sometimes that I was born too soon. It is impossible to imagine the height to which may be carried in 1,000 years the power of man over matter. Agriculture may diminish its labor and double its produce. All diseases may, by sure means, be prevented or cured, not even excepting that of old age, and our lives lengthened at pleasure.
Oh, it would be nice to have our lives lengthened.
Mm-hmm. President Jefferson, how important is science in your view?
When I contemplate the immense advances in science and discoveries in the arts which have been made within the period of my life, I look forward with confidence to equal advances by the present generation and have no doubt they will consequently be as much wiser than we have been as we than our fathers were, and they than the burners of witches.
The Supreme Court, in a case called Citizens United, ruled that corporations have the same rights as people and that restrictions on corporate contributions to candidates may not be limited. Mr. Payne, you warned about corporate power in your Rights of Man.
Corporations have a more extensive evil effect than what relates merely to elections. They are sources of endless contentions in places where they exist, and they lessen the common rights of national society.
Thomas Paine speaks the truth.
President Jefferson, the Occupy movement is a protest movement that's arisen over the power of big banks. How seriously do you take such concerns?
I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies.
Now that's a revolutionary mm-hmm. thought.
Yeah.
Chief Brandt, in our time, as in the time of the British Empire and colonial days, the rich and powerful sometimes seem to be above the law. You've had some strong words to say on this subject.
In the government you called civilized, the happiness of the people is constantly sacrificed to the splendor of the empire. Hence the origin of your codes of criminal and civil laws. Hence your dungeons and prisons.
Can you tell us how justice has traditionally been meted out in your Native American society?
We have no prisons.
Really?
We have no written laws. And yet judges are as highly revered among us as they are among you, and their decisions are as much regarded. We have among us no exalted villains above the control of our laws. Daring wickedness is here never allowed to triumph over helpless innocence. The estates of widows and orphans are never devoured by enterprising swindlers. We have no robbery under the pretext of law.
We imagine how different our world would be if this system were in place today. Now, on another topic, religious freedom and separation of church and state. You founding fathers have some differences of opinion, I understand. Let's start with President Madison.
The purpose of separation of church and state is to keep forever from these shores the ceaseless strife that has soaked the soil of Europe with blood for centuries.
Amen. Amen. Mr. Payne, will you please tell us your opinion?
All national institutions of churches, whether Jewish, Christian, or Turkish, appear to me no other than human inventions, set up to terrify and enslave mankind and monopolize power and profit.
Ambassador Franklin, what's your view?
In the affairs of this world, men are saved not by faith, but by the want of it. But to follow by faith alone is to follow blindly.
Recently, we've seen a trend towards secrecy by our government. How important is it to assure that media can serve as watchdogs to bring forth truth? Mr. Henry.
The liberties of a people never were nor will ever be secure when the transactions of their rulers may be concealed from them.
Yes. Huzzah. Yes. Huzzah.
On a lighter note, let's take some questions about pop culture. Another innovation recently is video games. I am sure our younger listeners will want to hear your views on gaming, Ambassador Franklin.
Games lubricate the body and the mind.
Oh. That sounds like Ben Franklin doesn't.
You charmer, you. One constitutional amendment that was passed and later repealed was a prohibition on alcohol. Winemaking has become a growing industry in our region, as it has long been in France, where you spent a great deal of your time, Ambassador. What are your views on imbibing those fruits of the vine?
Wine is constant proof that God loves us and loves to see us happy.
Amen.
I'll drink to that.
President Jefferson, you have been a champion of creating a strong public education system. But today, the price of college has risen sharply, though the current administration is striving to increase funds to help students. Can you tell us who you believe should be entitled to an education and why you think that is important?
The most promising genius, whose parents are too poor to give them further education, to be carried at the public expense through the college and university. The object is to bring into action that mass of talents which lies buried in poverty, and thus give activity to a mass of mind which, in proportion to our population, shall be double or treble of what is in most countries.
Hear, hear.
Thank you. Media bias is a growing concern in modern times, since the consolidation of media has put most major media outlets into the hands of a few big corporations. Mrs. Adams, do you believe it is important for people to hear multiple points of view?
I've always felt that a person's intelligence is directly reflected by the number of conflicting points of view he can entertain simultaneously on the same topic.
Thank you. What advice would you give to those who feel that it's just too much trouble to get involved in protecting our democracy, Mrs. Adams?
We have too many high-sounding words and too few actions that correspond with them.
Mr. Payne, do you agree?
The more difficult the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. An army of principles can penetrate where an army of soldiers cannot.
Mr. Henry, what's your advice to the citizens of today?
The battle is not to the strong alone.
It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave.
President Adams, what's at stake here? Is there a risk in complacency?
Liberty cannot be preserved without general knowledge among the people. Remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide.
Perhaps it takes truth and an informed populace for democracy to survive and thrive. President Washington, what are your closing thoughts as we celebrate the birth of independent media here today?
Truth will ultimately prevail, where there is pain to bring it to light.
President Adams, what advice do you have for our listeners and for future generations?
Knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives.
Yeah. Well said.
Yes.
Well said.
Yes. Ambassador Franklin, are you concerned about election integrity?
Democracy is two wolves and a lamb voting on what to have for lunch. Liberty is a well-armed lamb contesting the vote.
President Jefferson, we'll let you have the final word here on this Independence Day celebration with KNSJ.
I thank KNSJ for inviting us here to remind Americans today why we fought for the independence we won in 1776. I hold it that a little rebellion now and then is a good thing and as necessary in the political world as storms in the physical.
Thank you. If people do stand up for those rights enshrined by you founding fathers and mothers, how optimistic are you for our nation's future, President Jefferson?
I like the dreams of the future better than the history of the past.
Thanks to all of you for joining us on this very special 4th of July celebration, and I hope that everyone listening will have a festive and spirited Independence Day.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
It is baseless as a matter of history, text, and practice, and makes no sense as a matter of policy.
Wendy Weiser of the Brennan Center for Justice calls the independent legislature theory proposed by North Carolina Republicans an anti-democratic interpretation of the Constitution. The Supreme Court agreed on Tuesday, rejecting the claim state lawmakers have sweeping authority over congressional maps and federal elections. In a 6-3 ruling, the court upheld a decision by North Carolina's High Court, striking down a redistricting plan as severely partisan. A new Senate report finds intelligence agencies ignored a massive amount of warnings ahead of the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Former Capitol Police Chief Stephen Sund says he witnessed a coordinated military-style attack.
These people came specifically with equipment. You're bringing climbing gear to a demonstration. You're bringing explosives.
The report says the FBI and Department of Homeland Security were aware of social media posts foreshadowing violence, as well as knowledge of far-right extremist groups planning to be in Washington, D.C. on the day the Electoral College vote was being counted. The Biden administration will distribute more than $40 billion nationwide to ensure reliable high-speed internet service for every American by 2030. Senator John Thune of South Dakota says tremendous oversight will be needed to ensure funds are not misspent.
More importantly, to ensure the funding is actually going to areas that are truly unserved.
At least 7% of the country lacks access to high-speed internet service, according to the FCC. House Democrats are calling for an independent investigation into Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, following reports of undisclosed luxury trips with a Republican megadonor. Representative Dan Goldman of New York calls the behavior un-American.
But sadly, it is not against the rules of the Supreme Court because there is no code of ethics that applies to the Supreme Court.
Democrats are asking Chief Justice John Roberts to establish an independent office to investigate. San Francisco could become the first city in the country to require all pharmacies to carry naloxone, a drug that reverses opioid overdoses. San Francisco Supervisor Matt Dorsey says pharmacies without the drug would endure fines.
My sense is that the community has had enough of excuses, and they want answers about what we're doing.
And ongoing wildfires across Canada are raising air quality concerns throughout the Great Lakes region and in parts of the central and eastern United States. Air quality has been categorized unhealthy in Chicago. Officials are urging young people, older adults, and residents with health issues to stay indoors. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
A free press is the foundation of our democracy. KNSJ Radio is dedicated to providing nonprofit news in the public interest, not special interests. We rely on your support to continue bringing you important stories from San Diego and East County that you won't hear anywhere else. Please make a generous donation at knsj.org to sustain KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia, and the Smashing Beats. Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine Radio Show or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show.
A free press is the foundation of our democracy. KNSJ Radio is dedicated to providing nonprofit news in the public interest, not special interests. We rely on your support to continue bringing you important stories from San Diego and East County that you won't hear anywhere else. Please make a generous donation at knsj.org to sustain KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.